I love that we can come to Monarch, and Brother Tony described some of that. Some of the generations that have gone on before have experienced the same Spirit of God, experienced the same deliverance, experience the same grace. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, and when there was talk about moving the tabernacle from over there to over here, I didn't like that idea very much in my own self. I like things to stay the way they were, and I like all the things that happened over there, and I like to sit there and think about Grandpa Stretch had a lot to do with the way that building was made, and I like to think about all the people that worship there and all the deliverances, and there was nostalgia to that. But it's a pretty nice building we've got now. But you know, it's not where we put the lights. It's not where we put the fans. It's not how we set up the sound system or the lighting. But that it's that lighthouse is still shining tonight. It's that the power of God still rests with His people. And where there is a searching, aching heart, there is redemption and grace. Even in our time, it said 2023 up here earlier because they were taking pictures. And that stuck in my mind that even now, how many generations has it been? As they sang the lighthouse, I really started missing my father. My heart started aching again, and you feel that pain of people that you've loved that have gone on. And I remember watching him cry and listen to that song, and I know what that testimony meant to him and others that we've loved that have lived this way and have known who God is, that have walked in these paths and have experienced the grace of God. And we remember those testimonies. But then as we live our life, we find the same waymarks. We find the same Spirit of God. We find the same deliverance. We find the same redemption. And it is what holds us to know that the generations that come after us will also find. Wherever there is a seeking, aching heart will find that relief in the Lord, long as He tarries. The message of the Lord is laid on my heart is a message of redemption. And I don't know that I've ever preached this message. It's a precious story. It's a precious account that Jesus gave. But I ask for your prayers that the Lord would cause His Spirit to minister to each one of us, that there is a redemption and there is a restitution for the things that you might have lost. Yes. I'd like to read in Luke, and in the 15th chapter, I want to read the story of the prodigal son. And one of the thoughts that has been impressed on my mind is that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart is to minister to those that have been in a place and in a cycle of despair, have been in a place where they have found their life is not maybe what they hoped it would be. I'm 40 years old, and as we get older, I'm older than 40. But the older we get, the more we begin to think about the past and things that have gone on. And maybe there are some young people that will feel this message tonight, but I can tell you that's not really where my burden is. Because in order to lose something, you have to come to a place that you realize I've lost. That what I used to have is no longer there. That my choices in life and the situations and the things that I've encountered have caused me to be in a position that maybe people don't even know about, but I know where I'm at and I've lost something. And it's why Brother Curtis said, read the word over and over, young people, because we want to know what it is we have, that we avoid some of the things. Brother Joseph brought it out. He said that he didn't feel like he got very far in sin. But the more that we read the word, the more we measure ourselves by that and recognize there's something that the Lord has for us. But we have been given something, many of us have been raised in the truth and have heard the truth and know what it is and have experienced what the freedom of that is. And then now maybe there's something that has begun to lack or is missing, and the Lord has a restitution for that. But we have to come to the place where we recognize that, Lord, I need you to do something in my life, and I'm tired of being in the place that I'm in. He said here in the 15th chapter and in the 11th verse, he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them, I'm the youngest in my family, and my brothers and my sister will tell you I'm spoiled. And they'll tell you the youngest is always spoiled. And I think there's a reason why it was the youngest brother that wanted what was his to go do what he wanted with it. There's a little bit of truth to that in my mind anyway. But the younger brother, the younger son, he said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, not too long after that young man had those things in his hand, he began to make some choices. He began to take a journey that took him from his father's house. He began to think that the things that he thought would be best, Dad might have said this, or this is might have would have been what I've always heard, but I know something better. And he began to make choices in his life. Not many days after, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Wanted to get a distance and away from, maybe it's the condemnation, maybe it's the judgment. Maybe it's the feeling of I shouldn't be. All I can think of many factors why he wanted to go to a far country, some distance from where he had been raised. Went to a far country. And there he wasted his substance on riotous living. He took the resources that have been precious, things that have cost something. The resources that we've been given, and why we as young people pray about our choices and our decisions, is because the riches that have been given to us are worth something and cost something to gain. What we tell our children, money doesn't grow on trees. The substance of our life is not something that just grows on trees. Often it's things the Lord has imparted to us and blessed us with because of our raising and things he's put in our life that are of great value. But as this young man took what was his, he went to a far country and he began to expend his substance, what he had. And many people will do the same thing. They'll take the substance and they will not count the value of it. And begin to spend of themselves what they have. It's what's within us that begins to be spent out. And do you know that you can go a while like that? It's why you see people, young people, anyone that has been raised in a good way of living, and there's a toll that living in the world takes. It takes the freshness. It takes the youth. It drains something until there's nothing left but a husk of what used to be there. The one brother brought out that sin and salvation, it wasn't just a better way of life, but that sin represents something that will destroy you, and that's what this was. It began to take something from him till he had nothing left. It drained him. But it doesn't stop there, see, because when I think of substance, when I think of having something on hand to deal with, it says, and when he spent all that he had, something happened. It wasn't status quo anymore. It says there arose a famine. There came a time of heat and of lack and of not a lot of excess. And in life, that is what happens. It is cycles. There is times when there is excess. It happened in the Old Testament. It happens in our lives now. There is a time that a famine comes. And when the difficulty came, this young man had nothing on hand to be able to deal with the famine in his life. And life will catch up with every single one of us that way. We'll get in the traps of life. We'll get in the places where we have expended what we've had, where we have drained ourselves, and we're just barely hanging on, and then the famine comes. Then the time of difficulty comes. Then the perfect storm arises. All the different factors that could come along then come along. And this young man didn't have on hand anything left of himself to withstand. I think his energy, I think his all of his ideas were expended. I think his resources. He was in a position of great need. And this is where he began to live, is in this position and in this place. And I believe tonight that people that live in a place like this, that there are cycles. There are cycles to life where people will find something that dulls that ache for a while. It provides some sort of a substance that you may be able to find for some time, but eventually that runs out and the bottom comes again. And it's in the quiet of the night. It's sometimes on the bar stool. It's sometimes parked in the car down at the alley where nobody knows where you're at. It comes at different times that where everything is poured out and all the hopelessness and despair of how I've gotten to this place. And what happens typically, if people don't respond to that, is they find a way to just kind of try to get through that moment. Find something to dull my mind for a moment. And I believe this young man, the scripture doesn't totally bear it out, but I've seen it in lives that there. Something to just numb me to get through this period where I'm feeling the desperation and continue on and do the mechanisms of life a little longer. And then I can carry on and maybe I can fulfill a position that I'm in, or I might be able to still be a father or be a mother or be in whatever and try to work in that position. But then the cycle comes back round again. The famine and the difficulty comes and I hit rock bottom time and the substance just isn't there to continue on. The famine came. He come to a place of great need and he began to be in want. The satisfaction and the things that would have sustained him were no longer there. It says, and he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine, to live with the pigs. None of us live with pigs today. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you're a pig farmer, but I don't mean it in that sense. But living in this place where there's not much. This was not a good job. This was the lowest of place. This was at the bottom. Go feed my pigs. Go live with the pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. No man, he come to the end of all the resources that were available. If I think of a modern picture, I can think of someone that is, they're in debt now. They've called every favor that they can. They've expended every resource that they could. And they're feeding on the husk of, and I'm not talking about natural food here. I'm talking about just the substance of taking another breath and living another day. No man gave unto him. In great need. I can imagine all of the feelings and the, sometimes there's self-pity and sometimes there's wallowing. And do you know that there is a whole environment built in the world to create a badge of dishonor for this position? There are songs written that when you listen to it, it glorifies this place. I'm just in this broken place. I'm unable to save myself. I'm just in this place. And it touches people that are living like that, and there's no hope in it. It's what the enemy does. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been there, praise God and thank the Lord, but I know what that is. And what happens is that song, it lasts for a while, and there's a little bit of balm there to wallow in that place. And then pretty soon it loses its effectiveness. And then you need something else. And it's basically husk from husk to husk in that place. And when you get in that place, the devil, he has a way of making us think that there is no way out, that your choices, your decisions will keep you there. There's debts that are owed that are more than money when you get in that position. There's hurts that have happened. There's family members that have been affected. There's people that have, that now there's something owed now. There's longing. There's regret in that place. Oh, I wish I would have, but it's too late now. Just have to live like this. Try to hide it from as many people as I can. And if I could have it to do over. And I wonder if this young man thought about that sometimes in this place. If I had it to do over. There's a sense of pride that we have as humanity that when we end up in that place, it's hard to accept. That I cannot save myself from this position. And in the messes and in the miry clay that you can get at in this life, there is no way for us to save ourselves from that miry clay. And the world has a lot of solutions. They have a lot of things that they will offer. A lot of things that you can make your life better if you follow this program or that program. And when we're dealing with addictions, there are some things that are useful in that. But one of the first things that you have to do is realize that I'm in this position and I'm going to need help to get out of it. There's a brokenness inside that comes from this place. And it's a brokenness that it doesn't matter how many husks you eat, how many of those songs you listen to, how many of those drinks you take, how many puffs of the joint you take, how many hits you have, it never touches or heals that broken spot. It's still there. And you might be able to dull it for a moment, but then that cycle comes back around again, and I'm at the bottom, and I need something else. So this man, he's in this place. 2 Corinthians in the 7th chapter says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. It's the first part of that scripture. But the second part, and we'll talk about that. But the first part of the scripture says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. It brings despair. And the devil's plan, the devil's purpose, steal, kill, destroy. This cycle of sorrow is something that will keep you until your last breath, and it will drain all the youth and all the life out of you the longer you stay in that place. These are traps. Feels unrecoverable. It feels hopeless. Feels like it doesn't matter what I do or what I try. I'm going to end up right back where I was before. I've expended all that I've had. I've expended all that I have. I'm very thankful tonight that this is not where this story ends. And I'm thankful tonight that this is not where your story has to end. And even though the debts can sometimes seem great and the road back can seem very long, there is something that the Lord has for us in this. 17th verse, it says, "And when he came to himself," this was the mercy of God. When he came to himself in the pig pen, when he came to realize and accept, I'm very thankful tonight that God does not just find us in the chapel. God does not just find us down at the altar. He does not just find us at Monarch. I'm thankful tonight that God reaches us in the pig pen, Amen. Out in the pasture, Amen. Out in the car, in the bar. Yes. That this is where God does His work. And He begins to speak to the hearts of those and help them find themselves and begin to spark a hope in the heart that says there's something that can be done. And oh, my burden is tonight that if you're in a place of despair, the Lord can find you in the pig pen. And He has something for you. Said He came to Himself. Do you know He had a decision to make at this point? That when the Lord begins to deal with our heart and He finds us in these places, and I know what I've described this morning or this evening is about somebody who's lost everything, but there are also some people that have lost some places, and this all may look good, but they're living in the pig pen over here. And the Lord comes, begins to deal, and when we come to ourselves, there is a choice that we can make. When that hope begins to spark, and this, the Lord began to speak to his heart. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. I will arise. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, I will accept. Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I recognize I've done wrong. I've spent what you gave me, what I didn't count of as any value. I realize now I needed that. The famine has come and I haven't. Lord, I'm going to go back to my father's house and I'm going to tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." That profession was in his heart. Oh, wherever you might be, when you come to yourself, and the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful that when we reach many times, it's the bottom of that cycle, when we feel like everything has been expended and I've got nothing left, that's often when the voice of the Lord comes and begins to work on us. Wherever you're, listen, hear that voice. Let it light that hope. Father, I have sinned against thee, or sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, we sing a song, I think it says something about I'd rather be a doorkeeper. We begin to value the things of Father's house. I'm happy to just be there. And I believe that when we get a hold of that, that it becomes something that sustains us. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to expend anything that takes me out of that house. A carefulness is wrought. I just want to be a servant. Just let me serve in your house. Let me earn my way if that's what it takes. Just let me live under your blessing again. I know you have what I need. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, I had to embarrass my son. My son got saved the other night. And this message was already on my heart, but it brought such a meaning deep in my soul. I can tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what you've done and how far you are and how miserable you are. The Father's heart, when you are yet a far way off and He begins to see that I will arise. It's not with condemnation. It's not with, why did you do that? Right. Heard somebody say you should have known better. They knew better. The Father doesn't respond like that. I don't care what you've done before. Yes. I'm going to celebrate. That's right. My son is coming home. And this is the Father's response. This is the hope that draws us then. When we come to ourselves in the pig pen, is my Father wants me home. He wants to restore those things to you that you've lost. Is it fair? No, it's not. And the only justice of it is because Jesus paid the price for us. It's not just. I deserve that. I deserve to live in that place. And that's what the devil will tell you over and over again, is you deserve this. Stay where you are. You're not worthy. Live in this place. You bought this. You spent, and this is where you'll live till you die. You'll never be reconciled with your children. You'll never have a good relationship with your wife. You'll never make good decisions again. You deserve this. But I can tell you that God, the Father, His heart says, just come home and I'll restore those things to you in your life. He paid the price for us. We sing the song that Jesus paid it all. And what that means is, I don't have the resources. It's not just that He paid my debt to the Father. But now when I have to go make restitution, when I have to go tell this person I'm sorry, when I've got to pay this person back and I don't know where to get it, it's God that pays that price. He's the one that fills the gaps. You cannot do it from the pig pen. There's no way for us in our mind to return and figure out how am I going to... Don't worry about those things. The Father will put the robe on your shoulders, a ring on your finger. He'll kill the... It's a celebration. Just come home. Just come home. Come back to Father's house. Come and enjoy the blessing and the benefit. And you can live here forever. I love my children. I don't care what they ever do. They may be a mass murderer. They'll always be able to come home to my house. That's how it is. I love them. They're my children. And this is the Father's heart. Oh, when the enemy whispers those lies, you deserve this. Yes, you do. But He paid a price so that you could come back and live in Father's house. Said, I'll arise, no more worthy to be called thy son. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Oh, there's no greater feeling. And I've been there too. To feel the compassion of the Father and the kiss on the neck. Yes. All is well. Yes. My Father's resources, they can make right. You know, there are effects. There, of course, are things that are a result of the choices that we make. But the Lord is able to remake something out of our life that glorifies Him. To become a testament to Him. A living testament. And when you are gone, when your life is over, when you're in the cemetery and your children are living, they will remember this testimony and not what happened before. I promise you that. They'll remember the grace of God. They'll know what Dad did, but they'll remember what Jesus did after that. They'll remember the debts that were paid. They will also have their feet straightened and their path straightened because Dad showed them how to get back. There's always hope. This is what the Father came for. This is the restitution. All of us were in this place. Oh, if you spent it tonight, the Lord can restore it to you. He can restore your relationships. I was blessed by the one that said they talked to their brother, I think their sibling, for the first time in how many years? That's God. God is in that business. And He pays all the price for it. Yes. What did He say? He said, and the son saith unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The second half of this is a whole nother message. My son who was dead is alive again. Do you know in that comes all the hope? In that comes the hope of eternal life. In that comes the hope of a new life, of a new way of living. He was dead and now he's alive. All of us have loved ones that have lost their life. And when the Lord is able to save one of those, maybe from the uttermost, maybe they're not that far, that ringing in our ears of he that was dead is now alive brings just the anticipation. God will do something in your life. It's not too late. And it doesn't matter how deep and how miry the clay is. You know, that's what the Lord special. That's why his resources, his ways, his thoughts, the power we heard about this morning, we can't wrap our mind around it. We can't comprehend it. You're not going to be able to figure it out. But if you'll come back to his house, that power, that resource will restore those things. Isaiah, in the 61st chapter. We heard a message already about the first part of this, but the Lord encouraged me with the third verse. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Value for something that was all spent and burnt up. Burnt up and used. You ever squandered something and lost it? You ever had something of value and then you lost it? And that sick feeling in your stomach? Oh, I wish I hadn't lost that. I can't replace it. Ashes. There's nothing left. Just threw my fingers. I had it. I had so many blessings in my life. I had so many good things. And I got on the wrong path. And now all I got is ashes. Beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, that old song of sorrow. That old song of despair. That old song of hanging in the pig pen. I got a new song. What he's singing? My song of praise will always be Amazing Grace. That's the song of praise now in my heart instead of that song from the devil that said I'm broken and no one can save me and I'll always be like this and I deserve this and all of those things. That's the old song. But I'll give you a new song. Song of praise. Amazing grace. Didn't deserve it. Didn't earn it. I deserve where I was. But he had given me the garment of praise. It says that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. If you're in that place tonight, you cannot hardly fathom trees of righteousness in your life. How can we? Everything I've done turned to ashes. It didn't work. But this is what the Lord has for us. To establish and to plant. To have fruit. To have things that give him glory in your life. Let Brother Randall say, he got a few, whatever years he has left, he's going to work. The Lord has a work for you for the rest of your years, however many that is, regardless of what's gone on before. Oh, the Lord wants to plant you, wants to feed you, wants to deliver you, wants to give you a song of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I trust the Lord has stirred your heart. Maybe we can stand. If someone is in this place, come. Lord will restore this for you. Draw close to him. Come to yourself. Yea, Lord, I will arise and go. to my Father's house.